Neglect of Afghan refugees at Fort McCoy. The letter came after reporting from the Wisconsin State Journal this week indicating conditions at the military installation did not have the resources to provide for the needs of the roughly 12,500 refugees staying at Fort McCoy. On Wednesday, First Lady Jill Biden visited Marvin Pratt Elementary School in Milwaukee to emphasize the federal relief funds the Biden administration is directing to schools and to receive input from parents and school staff about returning children to classrooms this fall. According to the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, the continuing pandemic is causing increased prices on menus, and the higher prices may become the new standard. You're listening to Devil Radio, 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is a good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams, who is a candidate for United States Senate. Let me ask you, Dr. Williams, you heard and you've been hearing about what's been going on at Fort McCoy with many of the Afghanistan, I don't know if you call them refugees or what you call them, but the people who are here, how can that be? I mean, how can we accept the people and militarily or not even be ready to deal with them?
Well, I think, you know, and they're in Afghanistan we would say Afghan nationals, but here we're saying Afghan guests. And okay. And I know that the best care possible is being given to the Afghan guests up there at this point in time. And I know that, you know, everything may not be perfect, but I know as issues arise, you know, those issues are being addressed in the most efficient way possible.
Well, let's do that. We've got a caller on the line who has a question for you. Hey, Tom from LA, yes. How you doing, man?
Very good, thank you. First off, I'm very impressed by your guest. First of all, also like to say that we the people are the government, and we can never forget that. I guess I have a couple questions for you, sir. Number one, I think it sounds wonderful. It sounds like you've actually touched different parts of the state of Wisconsin with the different educational superintendent, personal jobs, different things like that. So I would think that would make people, you know of who you are. You almost sound like a Joe Clark to me, which is one of my favorite movies, Lean on Me. And so I have two questions. One is, what is your stance on money and politics? And number two, which president do you admire the most? And how would you govern in terms of the president that that you would admire?
Okay.
So money and politics, and then the third one.
Hey Tom, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Doc.
Okay, I think I heard him say
he was talking about money and politics.
Money and politics, and the president who I would admire.
Right. Great questions. Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah. And I guess I would like to know what, you know, as far as what he, you know, meant by money and, politics.
Well, the fact that it probably to the race in your seat, for the seat you are running for, there's clearly, you know, there are millions and millions of dollars that are going to be injected into the race. And his question is something wrong with that.
Very good question. So now I got it. So I tell you, this is my stance. I think we all know that even with this race, it takes a lot of money to run this race. And I don't necessarily think that the people with the most money you know, that should be the deciding factor. And I don't think it's going to be the deciding factor in this race. I think it might play a role as far as giving people the opportunity to, you know, advertise and get their name out there. But I think the people here within Wisconsin and the people throughout this United States, you know, aside from the money, they want their voices to be heard, and that they really want their vote to count. So I am one that would take a stance that just because you have the most money, that I don't think you're going to be able to buy people's votes. Because one of the things that I do believe is whether you have $1 billion in the bank or towards your campaign or a dollar, I think everybody has one vote, and we have to make that person who doesn't have a dollar, but does have a vote, make their vote count and make their voices heard. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running. And if you ask me about a president that I admire, I really admire former President Barack Obama. And I just admire the way that he handled different issues throughout the United States. I also appreciate the fact the way that he handled even the situation in Afghanistan. And I had the honor of being privy to several different and very challenging conversations at that time. I know a lot of people think that this whole issue with Afghanistan, it just started with President Biden and is ending with President Biden. These are conversations that took place way before now. And I would admire President Obama and the way that he handled various issues, but particularly that issue over in Afghanistan.
Let me ask you, Doc. The people would probably ask about, well, how do you move around the state? You're from Milwaukee. How do people get to know you in Rhinelander and Superior and yeah. and Shawano and it's Wabanon? And you would say what?
Yeah. Yes. And one of the things that we're going to be doing within this campaign is getting around to every county within the state. In this role, and we're going to be setting up listening tours all around the state, and I would welcome everybody who's able and willing to come out in person, and if you're not able to come out in person or not comfortable to tune in virtually.
Let me say this because
listen and ask questions. Yes.
You have done quite extensive traveling across the state from the most recent job you've held.
Yes, I've been all across the state of Wisconsin and as administrator for Wisconsin Emergency Management. But I also I'm coming back around the state in this role on this campaign trail for the U.S. Senate, and I want people to really know who I am and what I stand for. And what I tell everybody is, you know, if the message resonates with your spirit, I ask for your support. And I believe that the message that I have for the people of Wisconsin would definitely resonate. I mean, you asked earlier about educators and why is that so important. And I'm a strong advocate. And one of the things that we've seen throughout the state, and especially here, even here in Milwaukee, yeah, this COVID-19 has exposed the need for more online education, better training for our teachers, the need for universal broadband, more broadband services. I had calls from several school districts where kids lived in many rural areas and certain areas right here within the city that did not have broadband access. And I tell you, just like reading is a civil right, the right to have broadband services is a civil right at this particular point. And I'm an advocate for higher teacher pay and benefits. I mean, when you go inside of these colleges and universities, you don't have many teachers. Many people going inside the teacher education program. And a lot of it is the reason is because of the teacher pay. We have to increase it. And we have to also increase the benefit as far as the insurance, because a lot of teachers who were once promised retirement, they can't afford to retire because they can't afford the health insurance. And
hey,
we
Doc,
have to address that.
Doc, hang on. We've got some texts. You want to do that on the other side, Evan? Yeah, let's do that on the other side. Go ahead. Finish your thought, Doc.
Yeah, that was the thought. A lot of teachers, they can't afford to retire because they can't afford the health insurance. As interim superintendent of schools, I had several teachers who would say, can you please reinstate that health insurance benefit so they can retire?
Let me ask you this, Doc. This is a marathon. You know, you guys, you know, the election is 2022. And so you guys, man, you're spending a lot of time. It's going to be a lot of time, a lot of energy. I know if anybody's up for it, you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And there's just so many issues that we can address. And I took a leave of absence from the job to really focus on this because I was so passionate about it. And to be honest with you, I mean, I'm not out here trying to make another name for myself, because the fact of the matter is, when I was in education, I spent 26 years in education, 22 years right here in Milwaukee Public Schools. I was humbled to be selected National Principal of the Year. And most people would consider 26 years as a career within itself. And then 29 years, two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, people would consider that like two careers. But I'm here really trying to make a difference. And one of the things that people always ask me is, what separates you from everybody else who's running for this campaign? And I tell you this here. There are a couple things that separate me from everybody else.
Hey, Doc, look, hang on. Yep. Hang on. We've got to go to a break, and we'll give you a chance on the other side.
Got it.
Dr. Darrell Williams, who is a candidate for United States Senate. We'll be right back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, a good friend, Dr. Darrell Williams, who's a candidate for the United States Senate. You know, Doc, before we went to break, you were saying what separates you from some of the other candidates.
Yes, sir. And one of the things. Let me talk a little bit about just a few of the things that's critically important. You know, Mr. Ingram, one of the things that people talk about our veterans, and one of the things that really disturbed me whenever I was in both wars was that many veterans who over there fighting for their country are losing everything that they have back here at home, because the amount of money that they make on the civilian side is more than what they make as a serviceman, depending on their rank overseas. So I would be fighting to make those veterans whole, so that you're talking about the war at home and the war abroad. Can you imagine over there fighting a war when you're not making enough money to feed your family and your kids back here at home?
And Doc, I don't think any of us have really heard that, and that's never ever talked about. But go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be addressed. So we have several veterans who will salute the flag and will do it all again. But I just think it's fair, if you're going to ask a person to go and serve across these, we want to at least try to make them whole so they're not struggling to feed their families back here at home. That's important to me. I mentioned earlier about supporting law enforcement. And I truly believe in that. I was a member of the 32nd Military Police for 6 years, but I do believe that there has to be a restoration of the trust and confidence between law enforcement and the community. We have to bridge this racial divide, and I've done work inside of our schools and inside of our communities here in Milwaukee and also in Beloit with various diverse communities to help address some of those issues. One of the things that I also believe in is the right to bear arms. That's important. But I do believe that there's too many guns getting in the hands of people who do not have them, and people are dying as a result. So we definitely have to address those issues, and especially in the wake of COVID, the job creation piece. one of the things that we see within our community is the need to have, you know, more jobs. And I think that to address the crime within inside of our communities is we have to have more youth apprenticeship jobs. We have to really invest in our youth. If we say that we really want to put the best for our youth, we have to support them. We have to give them something to do. We have to give them, we have to build better parks. When I go to parks around different areas of the state, they have some really nice parks compared to what I see here in Milwaukee. Even though we have some nice ones, we have to do better, and we have to work with our colleges and universities and schools to build, to make sure that students learn how to become entrepreneurs, not just work for somebody, but learn how to create for themselves. And the financial literacy piece is key, but they have to do it, you know, in the age of COVID, they have to learn how to start businesses online and reintroduction of the jobs inside the trade. Those things are key. We talked about, I think, the strong winds that happened here a couple of weeks ago helped everybody, made everybody realize that it might be a little something to this talk about climate change. And even when people say that I don't believe in climate change, one thing we have to agree on is that it's something different happening with this weather. And there is, you know, and I've heard that everywhere. As I go all around the state, I hear people say all the time that, you know what, I've been here 60 years, 70 years, and we've never had weather like this. Now, you know, Mr. Ingram, and, you know, and I'm going to go back to where we started off. You asked the question, what is it that sets me aside from everybody else? And I know that this is something that everybody always asks. But and let me just share with you. To deal with the issue, the most pressing issues that we're dealing with within our time, whether it's COVID-19, here you have a person who has worked on the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic since the very beginning as Administrator of Emergency Management for the state, who's worked along with people at the local, state, and national level to help fight this COVID-19 response, and also emergency response. You have education, the education of our kids throughout this state and throughout this nation. What better advocate would you have to address and articulate the issues at the national level to get action down here at the state and at the local level than a person who served 26 years in education, then interim superintendent of school, selected as national principal of the year. Then on the military side of the house, we all see the issues and concerns that are stemming from Afghanistan and other areas, not only throughout the nation, but even right here within our state. And I'm going to tell you, the issue now, even though we're talking about what's going on in Fort McCoy and other parts of the country, the real question is going to come whenever the Afghan guests move from Fort McCoy, leave Fort McCoy, and start moving right next door to your house. That's going to be the question, and that's going to be the concern. And even if you support what's going on, it's still going to be an issue. And when we talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and all those different things, it's really going to test everybody's knowledge and you're going to pull the heartstrings of everybody when our Afghan guests start to move right next door.
Hey, Doc, hang on a second. Evan, you had some texts that...
Yeah, a couple people just wanting to know, how can we, the listening audience, find you, Dr. Williams? You know, social media, anything like that?
Yes, you can go on www.williamsworksforwisconsin.com, and there's the website is there.
Williamsworksforwisconsin.com.
There it is. That's easy to remember, isn't it? So whenever you just remember that when you go to the polls, Williams Works for Wisconsin.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know, Doc. You know, man. You just. With all that you've accomplished, the thing I admire about you the most is, man, people would never know that you've accomplished all those things, because you're as down to earth as any person that I've met. And I recall back during the march, I don't know, when we were having the unrest in the city of Milwaukee because of what happened. Yeah. Was it George Floyd or was it Jacob Blake? Whichever one it was, and you and I were walking together that night.
Yes, sir.
And the one thing I learned about you that I never want to ever do again. You know what that is?
We walk for hours.
Hey, I never want to walk with you ever again. Because, and I guess it's the military. How many miles did you guys used to walk in Afghanistan, Iraq?
Oh my goodness, we used to walk so many miles, and I did the what we call the Dankon Death March. That's 26 miles with I had 80 pounds on my back and rifle at port arms, nonstop. And so all for the Dankon Death March ribbon, but it was also about the camaraderie with the other soldiers in Afghanistan. But that's quite a ways.
Wow, you know, man, you know, it's a long haul, and it's an honor to know you. I know what kind of man you are. I believe that, you know, there are a lot of folk running, but clearly you can more than hold your own with any of them when it comes to the character and the quality of the person. There's not many, if any, that I know that can hold a torch to you from the perspective of the character of the man that you are and the commitment that you have made. So, Doc, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Man, you know, we'll do this again. Thank you very much.
Hey, well, thank you.
We'll
so
talk soon.
Thank you.
Evan,
thank you.
Evan, thank you very much again. Thank everybody who helped make this show go. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.